This, of course, tonight is the annual service of the local lodge here, and I count it an honour to take part. It's always a pleasure to have you good brethren here in our church, and I thought about your banner. And, of course, the banner relates to the exodus of the West Bank Protestants that began in the year 1969, and you can see over there on the banner how tastefully that has been represented. I'm a blow-in, I suppose you could put it like that. I'm a Tyrone man. But it's very interesting when you read up on these things, folks, isn't it? And I encourage you to do that. And don't believe everything Google tells you. Study into these things. Study into history. History is his story. The funny thing is, whenever I was at school, history was my least favourite subject. Oh, if you'd asked me to name a boring subject, I'd have been straight out with it. History. Keep history away from me. But it's funny, whenever you become a Christian, then God puts an interest in history in your heart. And I believe that's because the Holy Spirit comes to live in your life. And the Holy Spirit shows you that, as we have already said, that history is his story. You begin to realize that we're not all here by chance, that life on earth is not some sick practical joke, but we're here for a purpose. We've been created by the sovereign God, the all-powerful God of heaven, and he has put us here on earth for a purpose, and he is in control. Nothing can happen without his permission. And so I began to think this past week of the Exodus. We remember the intimidation of the West Bank Protestants during that time, 1969, right through the 70s. We think of the violence that they suffered. We think of the verbal abuse that they received. We think of the visits from masked men to the doors of their houses. Brethren, we dare not forget it. There are people who would like us to forget it. There are even people today who will try to rewrite history. You may have read the article by the Pat Finucane Center earlier in the year. In their wisdom, they decided to have a report and an investigation into the exodus of the West Bank Protestants and why the exodus took place. And of course, they come up with their fanciful notions. So there are those who do try to rewrite history. You beware, folks. Let me warn you tonight that, as Karl Marx once said, the rewriting of history is the first battlefield. There are a lot of people out there in places of authority, and they're trying to rewrite history, and there are gullible people who will believe them. So we just need to be a wee bit savvy. And we just need to read between the lines and not swallow every lie that the Pat Finucane Center or any other organization would pump out. Well, even though there are those who try to rewrite history in our little province and in our own city, thank God tonight nobody can rewrite the Word of God. You can't rewrite the history that's contained in Holy Scripture. And as I thought about the Exodus in the year 1969, I began to think about the Exodus in the Bible. You do know, of course, that one of the books of the Bible is called Exodus. And we have had a reading from it tonight. And our text is taken from that book. And I began to think of the events in the book of Exodus and what message God would have for us tonight from this wonderful book. And so here's the promise that I mentioned earlier. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. What a glorious promise that is. Here the Lord is saying to those who are in danger of perishing in the land of Egypt, there's a way of escape. If you trust in the blood of the Lamb, you will be safe. And of course, the message through Moses and Aaron is, fathers, take the lamb, kill the lamb, and take the blood of the lamb and catch it in the basin. The blood is precious. Don't lose any of the blood. Every drop of the blood of the lamb is precious. Take the hyssop and dip it in the basin, and fathers, put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel. Strike the lintel and the doorposts with the blood and make an arch. Did you ever think about that? An arch of blood. Before too long, hopefully, this very tasteful arch will be up here on the Duncastle Road outside the church. And we're proud to have it outside the church. But did you ever think about this arch in Exodus chapter 12? The arch of blood. And the Lord says, if you enter through that archway and you stay within the home, you will be safe. What a promise it is. God says, when I see the blood upon the door, when I see that arch of blood, I will pass over you. No one in the house will die. The firstborn will be saved. Some people would ask the question, and rightfully so, and we need to ask it tonight, why the need for this arch of blood? Well, the answer is given to us in the previous verse, Exodus 12, verse 12. Let me read it to you. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. God had sent 9 plagues upon the land of Egypt, and I'm sure we have learned them from Sunday school days. And if you haven't had the privilege of learning about the 10 plagues, please go home, read your Bible, and get to know these plagues. But here's the final plague. This is the 10th plague we're coming to now in Exodus chapter 12. It's the death of the firstborn. Now, right away, atheists and skeptics will say, your Christian God is a moral monster. The God that you orange men worship, the Christian God, he's the God who kills little babies. He murders, he slaughters little babies. We need to rewind. You see, what happened in Exodus chapter 1, just to give it some context, what happened in Exodus chapter 1 was that the leader, the ruler of the land of Egypt, Pharaoh, he ordered that all the baby boys be thrown into the river Nile to be either drowned or eaten by crocodiles. That gives it some context, what's happening in chapter 12. God warns that the firstborn in Egypt, in every home, will die. And it's not because he's a moral monster. No, in fact, he's a gracious, kind God. There is no one as loving as this Christian God that we orange men worship. And this God cared for the Israelites in Egypt, but let me say that he also cared for the Egyptians. If God had his way, that night in Egypt, not one person would have died. And God says, because of the massacre of the Jewish baby boys earlier in the book of Exodus, then these firstborn children are in danger of death. Folks, we have heard the saying, haven't we? What goes round comes round. And that's exactly what's happening in this chapter in Exodus and chapter 12. Death is coming to every home in Egypt that does not have the arch of blood. That reminds us, of course, reminds every one of us here tonight under this roof, that we too must face the final plague someday. Every one of us must die. None of us are getting out of this world alive. In spite of the advances in medical science, which we are so thankful for, 10 out of 10 people still die. And our Orange family has been bereaved even this weekend. And our hearts go out to those who mourn. But we're reminded, of course, of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Yes, death is coming. The question is, are we prepared for it? Are we going to make preparation? Are we going to realize that our only place of safety is to shelter under the blood of Jesus? And God promises that when he sees us doing that, then he will pass over us. If tonight you realize that you are lost, you realize that you have never been born again, you cannot talk to Jesus Christ in a personal way. Yes, you know about him, but you do not know him. I want to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is waiting to forgive your sins. He's waiting to save you, and he's waiting to bring you into that place of safety. The Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Some people think that night in Egypt that it was an angel that was going through the country. But it wasn't. It was God himself. The Lord says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. There's another reason why God is doing this. There's another reason why God is bringing judgment upon Egypt. It's simply because Egypt was riddled with false gods. And isn't it sad that our society today is also riddled with false gods? We have the false god of Freemasonry, that supreme being, as they talk about. Whether you're a Protestant, a Roman Catholic, a Hindu, a Muslim, whatever faith, it doesn't matter. You can just join us in the Freemasons and we all worship this supreme being. I want to tell you that the God of Freemasonry is a God of man's imagination. He doesn't exist. There's the false god Allah, of course, the God of Islam. But he also is a false god. He doesn't exist. There's the goddess Era, the goddess of Ireland, who, of course, recently has been calling for the blood of unborn children. Isn't it so sad just to think back a couple of weeks to the referendum in the south of Ireland? Wouldn't it fill your stomach with nausea to see people celebrating the death of unborn children? I don't think that's something to celebrate. How sick is the nation that fails to defend little unborn children so defenseless? Their mother's womb should be the safest place on earth, but rapidly today it's becoming the most dangerous place on earth. The God Era, the God Bacchus, the God of wine. A lot of people worship the God Bacchus today. Drunkenness. Sadly, even in our own Orange institution, there is this scourge of drunkenness. Those who bring dishonor and bring shame upon our illustrious institution by worshipping this god of wine. There are those who worship the god Aphrodite, sexual immorality, adultery, all kinds of sexual perversion, the lusts of the flesh. People just say, if you want to do it, go ahead and do it. Don't let anybody judge you. Don't let anybody tell you that what you're doing is wrong. You're your own God. You do what you like. Live as you like. The god Mammon, the Greek god of money. To many people today, money is their god. The love of money, the Bible tells us, is the root of all evil. The god Krishna, which is the god of the Hindus. The Norse god Thor, that people talk about today. So many gods in our society today. People think that there are many gods. Or else people say there's no god. When in fact the reality is there is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he is the God of the Bible, the God that we worship tonight. And we're glad tonight that we have a Bible that tells us about this true God, that we're not like the Egyptians with all their gods, their pantheon of gods. But we're glad tonight that we have in God's word revelation of his love and his salvation. And God says, and he promises, that everyone who shelters behind the arch of blood will be safe. Everyone had to do it. Every Israelite had to be in the home, sheltering under the blood. Every Egyptian had to be in their home, sheltering under the blood. Even Moses, who was one of the most powerful men in Egypt now, along with Pharaoh, and people feared Moses and they revered him. But God says, yes, Moses, even you, you must put the blood upon the doorposts of your home. And Moses, you too need to enter in through the archway of blood. Otherwise, Moses, you, like all the other people, all the other firstborn in Egypt, your firstborn will die. Moses had a son called Gershom. Moses wasn't the firstborn in his own family. That was Aaron. You can just imagine a lot of firstborns being concerned. As they go through that day, that D-Day, if you like, that day whenever the Exodus was hastening on, and it was coming to the evening. And you can imagine in the average Israelite home or the average Egyptian home, little children, firstborn children, eldest children in the home, going to the father of the household and saying, Daddy, is the blood on the doorposts? Daddy, will you please take me out so that I can see for sure that the blood is there? Daddy, I'm scared. The father, if he had been obedient to God's promise and to God's warning, he would take the little child out, and with joy he would show his oldest that the blood had been applied. The arch was there. My child, we are safe. Fear not. Woe to the father who killed the lamb but left the blood in the basin. If the basin of blood was on the doorstep of the home, that wasn't good enough. The blood had to be taken and applied to the doorposts. The hyssop had to be taken, that common plant. And friends, tonight, the hyssop plant is a symbol of faith. Our faith in the blood of Christ. Our faith is not what's special about salvation. Our faith is so weak. But God says, even if your faith is like a little tiny minute grain of mustard seed, as long as that faith is in the blood of Jesus, you will be safe. The Egyptians were aware of the need to apply the blood as well as the Israelites. Some people mistakenly think that God only warned the Israelites. That's wrong. He warned everyone, because the Bible says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's you tonight. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to repentance. You must face death. I have warned you tonight. You cannot leave the church tonight and go home and say, I didn't hear any warning. Someday when you stand before Jesus Christ, you'll not be able to say, Lord, nobody told me, no church warned me, no preacher warned me that I needed to be trusting in your blood. No, you've heard the warning tonight. Friend, lovingly, I give you the warning. And the simple reason why I do it tonight is because one day I will stand face to face with Jesus Christ and he will ask me, what did you preach that night in New Buildings at that annual Orange service? Did you warn those people that they needed to be forgiven through the blood of my eternal sacrifice? And I will be glad on that day to say, Lord, by your grace, I was able to tell that congregation that there is power, wonder-working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb. Please pay heed to the warning tonight. There were those, thank God, who did heed the warning during the Exodus all those years ago. There were others who didn't heed the warning, and the oldest child in the home died that night. Sadly, there were those who, even though they had heard the warning, they chose to spit in the face of Almighty God, and judgment followed. You see, spitting in the face of God has consequences. God has given you a free will. You have the choice to spit in his face, to say, I don't want to listen to your word, Lord. I don't want to hear the gospel. Don't talk to me about the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't want to know. You have that choice. But then you must face the consequences. But God doesn't want you to perish. God doesn't want anyone to perish. And that's why he gives us this beautiful promise tonight. When I see the blood, I will pass over you.